Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gather us in, O God. Prepare us so that we can prepare the way. In Jesus' name, amen. So, 2020 was a fun year, wasn't it? Good stuff, you know, shutting the world down for a little while, political upheaval, all because of a virus. A microscopic virus, something that no one could see, and yet it changed the entire world. But you know, it could have been worse. Any of y'all ever seen The Walking Dead? No? Some of you. The Walking Dead is basically a zombie show that was caused by a virus. So, I mean, while we, yes, had to shut everything down, could have been much worse. We could have had zombies running around here taking everybody out, right? I mean, that is absolutely terrifying. And yet, we are drawn in to all kinds of shows like that. Not necessarily the zombie thing, but the end of the world kind of thing, right? I mean, there's a certain fascination that we have with the apocalypse, the end of everything. And I know this to be true because tons of books, movies, television shows have been written about and shown about what it's going to be like. Some show how the world's going to end, like right now. Some, like The Walking Dead, really zoom in on the aftermath, what it's like. But one thing holds true in all of them, the way humans behave, the way we react to this fear and the unknown and this new beginning. I mean, how frightening is it to think of a world without the internet, the world without electricity, the world as we know it, completely gone. So are you ready for it? Does it freak you out a little bit? I mean, I was reminded this morning. John said, you know, we've been through this before. Remember Y2K? Wow, what a treat that was, wasn't it? You know, because all of our computers were going to like reset and crash everything, it was going to be the end of the world. And what happened? Nothing. You know, just like another day. But there are entire religions, well, cults that are based on the apocalypse. You know, you've got people out there selling all their stuff, and some people like buying bomb shelters and things like that. There's actually one cult. You remember the Heaven's Gate people that were worried that, well, they believed that there was a spaceship behind the Hale-Bopp comet, and so they all killed themselves so that they could float up and avoid the end of the world. Really? Is it really all that? I mean, you know why it troubles us so much, though? Because it's connected to our faith, isn't it? I mean, there's a whole book of the Bible that Hollywood has made kabillions on called the Book of Revelation, right? Now, everything's not based exactly on that, but we know full well Christians are drawn into that kind of story. Why? Because it's scary, because it's exciting, because there's drama there, and because we really don't understand or know what's going to happen. And so we want to hold on to anything we can possibly hold on to give us some of those answers. So many of us study and read the Book of Revelation, trying to see what's going to happen. When is it going to happen? But you know, that's not the only part of the Bible that talks about the apocalypse. I mean, one of the places is Matthew 24. Maybe you've heard it. One will be taken, another will be left behind. Yeah, that whole book series, movies, Left Behind, based on Matthew 24. And how many of those copies were sold? How many of you read that? Wasn't even that good of a book. But millions of people read it, and then more were made. But then we turn to today's gospel reading. Mark chapter 13. It's known as Mark's little apocalypse. All of chapter 13 is about the second coming. It's about the coming of Christ. And so we focus on this at the beginning of Advent because that's what Advent is. It's talking about the second coming of Christ and preparing our hearts and our minds for that arrival. And you know what? It scares us to death, doesn't it? I mean, just let me read the beginning verses of this again, huh? 13:24, where it says, "But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in heaven will be shaken." The gospel of the Lord. So how many of you just want to run out of here screaming, right? I mean, that sounds horrific. The sun basically stops shining, and everything turns black. How dreadful, how awful would that be? And yet we have a whole season dedicated just to that, right? But you know something? I'm not entirely sure that we've been looking at this the right way. Do you know what the word apocalypse means? It's taken from the Greek that it means to reveal. Hence the book of the Bible, Revelation. So what this is really about, what the apocalypse is really about, is about God being revealed. It's not about the end times. It's not about everything falling apart. It's about God being revealed. But let's be honest. Do you know where God is often revealed? God is often revealed in those times. When the world is shaken, when it seems like the sun isn't shining, when everything seems like it's falling apart. In 1980, on one August Saturday afternoon, a storm rolled into Lexington. I know that's shocking for some of you that the summer storm would show up in the middle of the summer here in Lexington. But this one in particular was a pretty bad storm. Lightning. In fact, during that storm, lightning struck the parish building that was just right over there. And it caught fire, and Pisgah started to burn. And it burned that building completely. In fact, the only thing that saved this sanctuary, I believe, is because a hole was knocked in the sidewalk here to save the organ, which cooled off this sanctuary. But there were still charred marks, and there was soot covering. And if you go up in the attic there, from what I understand, you can still see where it burned. I can't imagine the pain and suffering that the congregation felt at those times. I'm sure some of you remember. But you know something? I've heard tons of stories out of that, and none of them are bad. I hear about how the congregation came together. I hear about Rose Stansel's wedding that was just 2 weeks later, and how she had black soot on the bottom of her wedding dress, but they were still able to bring everything together and get the sanctuary ready. I heard about Hank Moody, who became the pastor, who interviewed 2 days later, and was, through his leadership and the congregation's leadership, was able to rebuild, and how in the midst of all of this, the community gathered in, and so much money was raised that a bus shed and an endowment was created with the extra money that was left over. Now, no one would have looked forward to their church burning down. No one would have been hoping for this catastrophe to happen. But in the midst of that, God showed up. In the midst of that apocalypse, God showed up. 40 years later, a worldwide pandemic hit. The world was shut down. We stopped worshiping in this room. There were 4 choir members and 4 of us over here. And that was it for months and months and months. And then we reopened and allowed 25 people. 25 people. But we made sure that people had to call ahead because we didn't want to be turning people away at the door. But do you think we needed to turn anybody away at the door? No. Because nowhere close to 25 people came. A few months later, we opened it to 50. Again, call ahead seating. Nowhere near 50. That's when we started getting 25. The apocalypse of 2020 is still continuing on, isn't it? The impact of the pews that still haven't returned, that the church itself still hasn't rebounded the way it would lie. No one could have known what was coming. How do you plan for something like that? But in the midst of this pain, in the midst of the suffering, one thing that we can count is that God has been and is going to continue to show up again and again and again. Just as the fire of 1980, we look back and yeah, that was a tragedy, but look where we are as a result. I promise you that as we move through this, we're going to be able to look back on this time and say, it was horrible, but God showed up. God changed the hearts of our people. God changed the way that we did things. God was here and continues to be here. See, that's what the second coming is all about. Is that God showing up again and again and again in the tragedies of our world, in the tragedies of our lives. Just when we are in the midst of our own personal apocalypse, just when the world as we know it feels like it will never, ever be the same, the revelation happens. God is revealed. God's presence is there. God shows up again and again and again. The apocalypse is coming, my friends. Thank God. Come, Lord Jesus.